That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more.
When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has rolled around again. And good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. April has come to an end. Here it is, the end of April, April 30th, 2016. But we do say good morning. And time flies, but we've got right now at least to have this time together. So good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And we have a special guest with us this morning, Josh, from, as the song says, Way Down South. Good morning, Josh.
Good morning, sir.
And Josh, I bet your weather's probably a little warmer than ours. I think we're about 30 outside with, looks like it snowed about 2 inches last night, and that was on top of the what we already had. But, well, you know, it's that time of the year, springtime in the Rockies. So how's that horrible weather way down south?
Well, it's pretty rough. I walked out to the radio room this morning with my shorts on, and it's a balmy, probably 62 out there right now, so not complaining a bit. Mm.
I got insulated Carhartts and a couple sweatshirts myself, and but that's how it is. And but you know, whether it's 68 degrees or 28 degrees, we can sure come together for fellowship and praise the Lord, and that's just what we're going to do. And we'll have the phone lines open in a little bit. But Josh, we'll ask you if you'd open us up in prayer this morning.
Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning. Lord, we come before you with a spirit of humility, Lord, and thankfulness for all that you've given us. Lord, as Richard said, we thank you, Lord, whenever it's 20-something degrees, and we thank you when it's 60-something degrees. Lord, we thank you for holding us up in your hand, Lord, and protecting us and loving us, Lord. And I just pray this day that we'd be found worthy of that love, Lord, that we would be found seeking your will, Lord, and trying to do our best by our brethren. Lord, we do pray that you'd watch over us, protect us this day, and that you'd keep us safe, Lord, from all attacks of Satan. Lord, pray that you'd keep it in our hearts and our mind that there are our enemies out there, Lord, that come to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, help us to keep our guard up. Help us to be wise in how to use that armor of Ephesians 6, Lord. And do pray that you grant us that armor, Lord, that you gird our loins with truth and shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Put on us that breastplate of righteousness. Grant us the sword of the Spirit and shield of faith. Lord, wrap us in that mantle of zeal and seal us off with that helmet of salvation. Do pray that you perfect that armor and complete it and have us to be wise in the use of it. Lord, we pray that you grant us wisdom, Lord, knowledge and understanding. Grant us discernment to know who our friends are and who our enemies are, Lord, and help us to know how to deal with both accordingly. Lord, we do take that authority that you've given us, and we bind Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, he's not to come against us or our families, Lord, and we pray that you would, that you have those that set out to do harm to us, Lord, that you would turn those curses into blessings for us, Lord. And pray that you'd show us, Lord, the way that we ought to be. Help us to be the men that we ought to be, the leaders for our families and for this country, Lord. Pray that you grant us grit and help us to be able to stand up and stand firm in your faith, Lord, and help us to not back down. And pray all these things in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, the phone line is ringing already. That's a little early. And it seems a little early for a sales call, so let's try it. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Well, all I did was, I hate this every time I call you is to complain. It's terrible, but you're not coming over on shortwave.
All right, where are you calling from?
Kansas.
From Kansas?
It's not propagation. It's cracking up and cutting out, and cracking up and cutting out. It's not propagation. I'm getting a signal.
Okay.
And that's all I wanted you guys to know. I hope you get it fixed. Because I couldn't hear the hour before hardly, and you guys, I haven't hardly heard anything of either. Thanks, Richard.
All right, thank you. Don't know if it's weather. I know there is some weather rocking all over the country. Folks know we're working with the shortwave station. We appreciate it when you let us know things like that. Whether the shortwave's coming in good or bad or cracking or not at all, because it helps the station and lets them know, you know, when things are working and when they aren't. So we appreciate that. So, well, Jason, how are things down in Colorado? Where do you want to go this morning?
Ed, I got to work on this for a minute.
Okay. Well, we'll let Jason work on that. So we'll go back the way down south. Josh, how are you seeing things down there? What are you seeing going on right now in the land?
Well, I just had something that I guess the Pastor Peters would call a little nugget, maybe a sermon illustration or whatever. It was just something that the Lord showed me this morning. I had my coffee perking in the kitchen, and a little girl came into the living room, and she ran right there to the corner, and she leaned up against the corner and looked at me over across the way, and I said, oh, this is going to be some good stuff. So I went and sat down on the couch, and she climbed up into my lap and buried her head on my chest, and, you know, was just snuggling in good and deep. And Richard, I know you've had plenty of practice with that. But anyway, so as I was sitting there, the feeling that you have whenever you got a child that's showing you that much love, you know, is unlike any other feeling that I've experienced on earth, you know. And so as I sat there, I thought about what was going on. I thought about how it related to us and our Heavenly Father. And this is the same little girl that last night I was spanking her behind. There were tears rolling. for fighting with her brother. You know, but I wouldn't, that didn't matter at all this morning whenever she was loving me, you know. And I just thought about how our relationship with God parallels that so much. That's what he wants. He wants us to love him. He wants us to choose to come there and be with him.
Yes.
And for him to enjoy our fellowship. And, you know, it's not a big thing to be holding my little girl on the couch. I could have called her in there and she would have came. I could have picked her up and made her sit there on the couch with me, but it wouldn't have been the same. You know, when she, with her free will, chose to come in there and to love on me, to fellowship her, you know, to make the parallel, that was so much more special than anything that I could have initiated or made her do. And so it, just on my mind this morning, our relationship with God, and do you show God that you love him in that way? You know, do we seek him and put forth the effort to make him feel special, to be thanking the way that we should whenever he blesses us? Because so much of the time, we don't even know he did it whenever he did. How many times has he kept a tree from falling in your path when you're going down the road? Or has a deer been looking out from the bushes, you know, as you're driving and not jump out in front of you and make you wreck and run off the road? We don't even know all the times that he's delivered us. But we should be thankful for him. We should thank him for the times that we know that he did, and also the times that, you know, Lord, I thank you for the times that you delivered me that I didn't even know. And it's just having the right spirit and the right approach to our relationship with God is crucial. And it's a simple thing. It's not something that's complex, and you don't have to be a wise man to be able to figure it out. And Matthew 22:37, and he said to him, "You shall love the Lord with." Well, I guess I'll back up and kind of lay the groundwork. 22:34. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord with the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." And you know, and you think about that. If my little girl loves me, she's going to show that love by being obedient to me. So therefore, what I tell her to do, she's going to do it. And if we love God, and if we want to show him that we love him, if we truly do love him, we're going to seek to do his will. And therefore, we're going to keep the rest of his commandments. And that's my thoughts on why that love is the greatest of the commandments, because it's the doorway that leads to the rest of them.
Amen. Amen. And you know, thank God we get to experience that because we have a loving Father that created us in his image, and we get just a taste of that. I know just what you mean there, Josh. You know, we're given our children. We love them, and we would do anything for them. Sometimes it's teach them right from wrong is one of the many things. Now the world sure doesn't like that, but we do that, and we get their love in return. And you know, that is, it is in the image of God and his plan. It truly is, because he loves us. He tells us, hey, you know, don't fret when you're chastised. You know, when I punish you, just take it. Take it and toughen up and realize I do it because I love you. You know, he says, I don't punish those that are outside. I don't punish the dogs like I punish you. I don't chastise them because they're, you know, well, he calls them bastards because they're outside the camp. Anyway, no, I appreciate exactly. your testimony. It applies. Sure does.
And what you just said is perfect. You know, the more that he chastises us, though we probably physically don't like it whenever we're being chastised, but the closer it brings us together. And I know I've seen the situation where, I've been in a situation where other people's children, you know, the parents don't correct their children a lot, but when they do something wrong that I do, and whenever you see those children, you got, you know, or just like when they pull up in the yard and they see you, they're going to come running across there and hug you and love on you because there's something in them that realizes that you love them because you're willing to correct them whenever they're wrong. And whether it not even be your children or not, you know, there's a special bond between you and them because they know in their heart that that's the way it ought to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And we remind them of that. You know, we let them know that. You know, when you do have to punish them. I can remember getting, you know, getting that belt from my dad growing up and literally him saying the old cliche, son, this hurts me more than it hurts you. And at the time, I can remember thinking, yeah.
You sure couldn't understand it then, could we?
No, no. Are you kidding me, Dad? I'm the one crying, not you. But he was on the inside. He was crying on the inside. But he knew that because he loved me, you know, he had to teach me right from wrong. He had to let me know what was right, what was wrong, what was acceptable, what was not. And it wasn't because he didn't love me, it was because he did. And it takes a while to figure that out here in the physical. You know, when you have your own children and they lie to your face because it's what children do, because it's what we do. It's because we're in that fallen world. And, you know, that drive, that flesh, that drive for very strong. And I'll just put this out. 26 years, and I've heard it from other parents. I've learned it, heard it from others, and I've experienced it. And you know, maybe your children just aren't old enough. But if you have children, you got to understand, children will lie to you, parents. Look you right in the eye. That's that sinful flesh. Now, if they haven't yet, you know, if they're still little, that, you know, that's just how it is. But it will. And now this is not a curse. This is just to understand that. Because you know what? We lie to ourselves. We lie to God. Because we're still in the flesh. You know, that's one of the reasons that Christ came, was so that we could overcome that. You know, overcome those sins. And, you know, you just have to. You have to realize that. Now, God deals with us, His children, even when we sin, when we have the problems. He deals with us lovingly, knowing what's best for us, wanting what's best for us. And knowing that, you know, timeouts usually don't get it. they don't.
Normally, you got to feel a little pain.
You got to feel a little pain.
To make the corrective... The correction in your course, you know, to get back on that straight and narrow.
Yeah.
And it's so important for us to be able to see that relationship that we ought to have with them. So therefore we know what to pursue, you know, what we're after and what he's after.
Yeah.
And, so I just challenge people this morning to think about, you know, our walks with God and think about, are we showing him the love? Are we thanking him for what it gives us. And, you know, you spoke of the children lying to you, and I've had mine lie to me. Like you said, stand there flat-footed, and you know the truth. And they know you know the truth, but they still going to try to lie to you. And, you know, when they do that, you forgive them whether or not they ask for forgiveness, because you love them, and that's what you do. But you'd whole lot rather them humble themselves and ask for forgiveness. There's a healing there, you know, and that's the same thing of, you know, when we repent of our sins, there's a healing there, and it allows, I mean, you think about what your child, when your child does something wrong, and then they come there with tears in their eyes, and they apologize, and
yep.
What do you want to do? You want to grab them in your arms and pull them tight and say, it's okay, buddy. I know that you're repentant. You know, I know that you are fleeing from this sin and you don't want to do it again. And you hug them and you want them to feel better. And you love on them. And it's the same thing, you know, with us and our Heavenly Father. It's important whenever we do mess up to humble ourselves, to... A lady that's a friend of mine, she uses the term shame-faced, and I think that's a pretty good description. You know,
yep.
you don't want to look at God. You just got your head hung down, and you know, well, Lord, I did it again. You know, I messed up, and I just pray that you forgive me. Give me the strength not to do it again. And you know, when you roll out of bed that next morning or that morning after you pray for that repentance, that's what you do. You walk down a path that is trying not to go back to that sin again.
Yes.
And that is our walk, to be fleeing from sin, not just reveling in it. And
and that's the difference.
The way,
you know, that's
the way
difference.
The world is putting it in God's face.
It is. It is. That's the difference. That's like, you know, in you know, the homosexual issue, the transgender issue, it has to come up because it's what the enemy is putting in our face today. It is one of the biggest lies, one of the many, granted, but it's one of the biggest lies that the enemy is propagating right now and has been, is that, oh, you have to allow these people to use the bathroom that way because that's what they feel, that's what they want. And what you feel doesn't mean anything, you know. God created man and woman the way he created them, and that's it. And when you move away from that, the Bible calls it sin. You don't have to believe it's sin, but it is, whether you believe it or not. Okay? But it is. And the world out there, no, they take the opposite approach. They say, oh no, they can't help it. They're born this way. Well, if you go with that logic, you know, Ted Bundy down there in Florida was born a killer. He just couldn't help going and taking pretty college girls and doing unmentionables to them and killing them and dumping their bodies all over the country. He just couldn't help it. He was born that way. But you don't have that in a society, in any civilized society, much less in a Christian society. And so I like what you mentioned there, Josh. There's healing. There's healing when you realize that something you've been doing is a sin, that it's against God's law. It's displeasing to Him. You know, however you want to put it, and I think you can put it in all those ways. When you know, and it's like when you're a child, maybe a teenager or whatever, and you do sin and you do something that you know. Your mom, you know your mama's not going to be happy about it. And you know that it's going to, your dad's going to be ashamed when he finds out. And you know, but you do it anyway. And when you've done it, and you're right, you have that, you may not show that shamed face, but you sure feel it. You sure feel
That's
it.
Right.
And it's not a peaceful time. It's not a good feeling. And, you know, the reason I think that we should be raised by godly parents, and they should take that belt to us when we misbehave, and they should set limits and and requirements, is because that's how God is. It's just, you know, childhood is just training us for life. You know, I've told my children, you know, they get, you know, maybe they get a little bit older and they start working and they've got work and school and there's a lot going on and, whew, you know, whoo, Dad, what, you know, what is all this? And it's like, this is called life. And we tell them, listen, it understand this, it doesn't get any easier. You just get a little tougher. You get a little more used to it, you know. And really, that's how it is. And you know, these transgenders, these homosexuals, and you know, the Bible, you can read in Corinthians, it addresses others as well. It's all that just sin and accept it. And you know, the wages of sin is death. And I'll tell you, Judeo-Christian churches out there, the wages of you being a so-called church and accepting sin in your church, accepting sin and not condemning it, the wages of doing that is also death. The Bible tells us that. It's as simple as that. You know, but we've been called to call sin what it is. It's sin. Homosexuality is a sin. Adultery is a sin. Liars don't make it into the kingdom. So if you're a liar, you better repent. If you're a homosexual, you better repent. If you're some transgender, you know, you better repent. The Bible calls sin. Because there's coming a day that you won't be able to. And,
well, and Jason,
there is
and
that freedom there. That freedom is there. Go ahead, Josh.
Well, Jason and I were talking the other night. It's black and white. Either it's sin or it's the will of God, one or the other.
Yeah.
You know, there's no gray area in the middle. Either you're in His will or you're not. And He gives us His word. Mm-hmm. In Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because you've rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And that is the situation that we've got here in the land. And that's
absolutely
the thing with Target. You know, we're worried about our children. I don't know, I should say worried, but that's, we're interested in protecting our children.
Yes.
You know, our wives and our children, and that's the whole fight. And the reason that we're at a point where we have got to fight that fight is, let's see, in Daniel 9:13, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come on us, yet we have not sought the favor of the Lord our God by turning from our iniquity, which iniquity is sin,
yes,
and giving attention to your truth. If you want a cause and effect of what's going on right here today in this land, there it is.
Absolutely.
Summarized in one verse for you.
Yeah.
That's why we're in the situation that we are, is because we're stiff-necked. We won't bow our heads to God. And when I say we, I mean as a people.
Yes.
As a nation, as a whole. We won't bow our heads to God and say, Lord, your way is better than our way. Your way is higher than our way. And we want your will for our country. And we got His promise that it's going to happen. But it is completely up to us to choose how many licks with that belt we're going to have to take before we decide to succumb to His will.
Yep.
Because we will succumb to His will, whether it be through choice and choosing to repent and turn from our sins and choose His way and choose life, or whether He's got to take us out because we refuse to humble ourselves and acknowledge Him as the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He can have it either way. I mean, He doesn't need us to heal this land to get things back in order, but He sure wants us.
Right.
And He loves us. And He wants us to be the sword with which He swings and cuts off the heads of those snakes. You know, and make no mistake, whenever with Target making the stand that they are making, I want the Lord to be protecting myself and my family. And they are coming against us. They are trying to destroy our people through this homosexuality.
Yes.
And the place for us to be is abiding in the shadow of the Almighty. And, you know, an example is I was holding a little girl this morning. I thought about it. And, you know, I'm a good-sized fella. My little girl's 5. And, you know, I'm a lot stronger than she is physically. And, you know, just as God's stronger than us. But, boy, whenever you got her there loving you and counting on you to protect her, you feel like you could pick up that house that you're sitting in and throw it.
Yep.
You know, it just, it empowers you. It activates you.
Yes.
Don't think it's any different with our God. Whenever we come to Him and we ask Him, Lord, we can't handle this on our own. We need You to protect us. We need You to deliver us from this, Lord, because it's bigger than we are.
Yes.
It's the same thing, you know. He pokes his chest out and he swings that sword, mm-hmm. and he cannot be stopped. It's important Amen. That we have that relationship and that he hear our prayers.
And that's such
and
a
whenever
big,
we pray that it would be in his will.
Absolutely. And that's such a big thing there, Josh, is that when we pray that it's in his will, and we mentioned it, I think it was Wednesday night, we mentioned it, that, you know, there's only one thing that prevents God from hearing and answering his people's prayers, and that's their sin. And so, you know, that's why the repentance is so important. You know, we agree with the Bible, with all of it. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You know, you have, I have, we all have. But the difference is we've repented. We've repented. We've not only believed the word, but we've obeyed the word. Now, that's not to puff us up, but what that does is that allows us to come before his throne. That allows us to offer up prayers and supplication, knowing that he hears it and knowing that he answers our prayers. Granted, it's from grace and mercy, but, you know, the grace and mercy doesn't do away with God. It doesn't do away with his word. It doesn't do away. It supplements, it ties in with his word. And his word tells us that, you know, what can separate us from the love of Christ? Can death or tribulation or... No, nothing can separate us from his love. But our sin can separate us from God. And so, again, that is why that repentance... And that's why our pastor promoted and pushed to baptism so much, because he understood that was part of the true biblical plan of salvation, of believing, yes, but also of repenting, and then symbolically dying with Christ, as Christ did, sharing in his death so that we can share in the glory of his resurrection. You know, Revelation 12:1 talks about overcomers, those who overcome. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. Absolutely. You know, he shed his blood while we were all still yet sinners to redeem us, to bring us back, because he loves us. He loves us greater than, Josh, than we love our children. But it's that type of love. The type of love, the greatest type of love. You know, greater love hath no one than he who gives his life for his brethren. And that's just what our God did. You know, the very epitome, the ultimate, the perfect example of love. But it doesn't mean you just go do whatever you want to do, people. And that no matter what you do, at least from here on out, once you hear the gospel, once you start to be called, once you have maybe a friend or a family member that shows you this word, okay? You know, once you hear it, well, you can't continue in sin and continue in grace and mercy. When you repent from your sin, well, then the grace and mercy is applied. And certainly I know it was applied in my life before I repented. But you can't continue in your sin and expect to receive the blessings of God. Expect him to just continually, day after day, accept the sin in your life. It's just not that way. I mean, he has his grace and mercy before we come to realize. And that's, I think Christ wrote and said, before, or I think it was the Apostle Paul, he wrote about that, before we told them about the law, they didn't even know what sin was. And I think we're back to that today. Our people today, they think this homosexuality and transgender is just, well, that's what I saw on TV, and I kind of felt that way. So, yeah, it's what everybody else is doing. And that's how
I don't want anybody to get their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
And if you look at the list of, and the list has grown, too. We keep saying Target, but, now we got to throw Starbucks in there, Hudson Bay Company in there, Lord & Taylor Company in there, Saks Company in there, Fifth Avenue in there, Barnes & Noble in there. They all came out and did the exact followed suit with Target, 100%.
And Richard, you had mentioned that thankfully he had that grace and mercy on you before you were baptized, when a believer, whenever you were just when you hadn't contacted the blood. And that's a good example. That would be back with the children. I love my friends' children, and I'm gonna do whatever I can do to protect them, and I'm gonna show them that grace and mercy. But it's not the same as if it were my children. Uh-huh. And that's how we become his children. That's how we are washed of our sins, and how we that's how we get his brand, is whenever we do go to that watery grave. And and as Jason was talking about the other night, yesterday before I contacted the water, and the spirit, when I sinned, that was an old dead guy that was doing those sins. It wasn't me, not who I am. And it's important to see the difference. And we should want that relationship with him as a father and his child.
Yes.
And we talk about the flesh and this battle in 2 Corinthians 10:3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of our God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And we are ready to punish all disobedience whenever your obedience is complete. You mentioned a little while ago that baptism is being obedient. It's what God tells us to do. And we do it, and we're obedient to him because we love him. And so after you're baptized in that situation, you were completely obedient. He tells you, Acts chapter 2:38, what do I do? And he tells us to repent and to be baptized. And once you do that, you've been completely obedient to that command.
Right.
And therefore, you've got access to these powers, these weapons that are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. And anybody around you, anybody in this country, can see that there are fortresses being raised up all around us. And these are not fortresses that can be taken by our AR-15s or our AKs. We're going to have more powerful weapons to be able to overcome them. And that's what we need. And that's how you get those weapons.
Amen. And Jason, I like your point. You're right. It's not just Target. It's not just Target. But I think that's opening the eyes of the people. There's, depending on what you see online, that's about the only news I see. I hear a little bit on the radio. They don't talk about it a whole lot. But I think that's opening the eyes of the people. They're saying close to 1 million people have signed this boycott Target petition, and I think that's good. I'm hoping that it's at least opening the eyes of the people, letting them see that. You have to choose you this day. And that seems to have been coming up time and time again. It's back in the days of, in the time of Elijah, has come back upon us. Choose you this day. If you're gonna just whore yourself with NASCAR, who doesn't like NASCAR? Who doesn't like a race? Well, let me tell you something. NASCAR's opening up their bathrooms to transgenders. So, good old country boys, folks, family that I've got down south. I come from way down south. man, we love a good NASCAR race. Used to, anyway. So if NASCAR welcomes transgenders, who are you going to choose, folks? You going to still go spend your money and go to NASCAR races? ESPN, owned by Disney. You know, God forbid you speak against sin at ESPN. They'll drop you like a hot potato, okay? They embrace it. So, folks, you still going to pay your cable bill and embrace Disney? You still going to embrace and serve and worship and honor and bring into your home the filth that ESPN puts out? Oh, it's just sports. No, it ain't just sports. Jason, you hit the nail right on the head. You know, you're going to shop at Target? Had a neighbor. Got a neighbor up here, cowboy, and we do a little Wednesday morning men's prayer. I go to that with him in town. And this Wednesday, he gave a testimony. His stepdaughter's living over in Cheyenne. She's an EMT, and she was kind of dating this fireman over there. And you know, all this came up with Target this last week. So they've kind of been on again, off again, and she's trying to figure out, just. She wants to be a stay-at-home mom, and she's just trying to get to that point. But anyway, they're you know, driving around at work, and the young man, early mid-20s, says, "Well, pull in here to Target. I've got to grab a couple things." And she says, "No, I don't shop at Target." And the guy says, "Well, why not?" And she tells him, they've accepted and allowed these transgenders and embracing them. And all this, and she said, "I'm Christian," and she said, "I'm not going to support him." And he was like, "Well, it don't bother me none. Pull in." And so, that broke the relationship off. And I thought, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, because we are coming to the point that it's choose you this day, America. If Jesus Christ is Lord, and His Word is His Word, and His Word is law, and that's His Bible, from in the beginning to amen. If Jesus Christ is Lord, serve Him. If not, if Baal, and then there's the description. Target in their ways, NASCAR, the other companies you mentioned, Jason, if you're just going to go along with those, your local school boards that are putting in transgender policies as fast as they can, if you're going to serve this filth, go ahead and serve them. And in the words of Pastor Peters, may the best God win. Because there's coming down that this lukewarm is coming to an end. It's coming to a time that Christ Himself is going to be spewing the people out of His mouth.
Well, and I think a good example of that, too, is even prior to, the Revolutionary War, you look at some of these people that took a major role in the Revolutionary War, and that's what they were doing, for the year prior to the war, was going, door to door, walking up and down the streets, preaching repentance to people. I mean, that's what they were calling it. They were calling for repentance. That was prior war. That was before the battle cry, "No king but King Jesus." It was something that had been taught to the people.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and then is that...
And Richard, as you were talking about not shopping with Target and these different ones that are jumping on that bandwagon, that is taking a stand.
Yes.
That is doing something. That is acting. And we know that we're not to associate with those that are of sin, that are mocking our God. And I would definitely urge everyone that hasn't changed their ideas or their decision about doing business with these companies, I would urge you to pray about it and see if that's God's will for you or not. Because
yes.
whenever you're shopping at those businesses, to me, it's a parallel with tithing to the Catholic Church.
There you go. Yeah. It is. It's aiding and abetting the enemy. It's aiding and abetting the enemy. And maybe you have to just choose your battles. Some people would say that about paying taxes. When you pay taxes, you fund abortions. But, you have to pick and choose your battles. And I like how you said that, Josh. You need to pray about it, folks. You need to pray about it. You know, and you can just pray. No, not the sinner's prayer. I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. But you can say, Lord, lead me. Guide and direct me. God, do you want me? You can be like Gideon and put a fleece out. Lord, is this where you want me to shop? Is this what you want me to do? And I'm asking, Lord. And you know, His Word says that if you ask, it'll be granted to you. If you seek His will, if you seek, you will find. The Word says it. And so that's as truth gets. But you have to ask, you have to seek. If you don't, if you just say, oh, well, whatever, well, you might get that said to you when our Lord and Savior returns. And when He comes back, He ain't coming back as a babe in a manger. He's coming back as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Warrior of Warriors. And He's coming back riding a white horse with a flaming sword to rule with a rod of iron. And I think that scripture that says, those that would not have me rule and reign over them, bring them here and slay them at my feet. That is going to be that day when that happens. So it's choose you this day who you're going to serve. You're going to serve Jesus Christ and let Him be the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and serve and obey Him in His Word, you know, or not. And see where that gets you.
You're right, Richard. That is so important, you know, and that is where we should start always, is seeking God's will for us, mm-hmm. praying about it. You know, don't take and live your life by what you hear some guy on the radio say.
Right.
You know? Check with God, you know, ask him to make it evident. You know, whenever you pray about a situation, you ask Him for the answer.
Yes.
And make it plain as the nose on your face where you can see it and you know what's wrong and what's right, and He will.
Absolutely. And you know, our pastor taught us that. He would say, hey, don't believe what I say. You know, you hear me even reading something out of the Bible, you go look at it for yourself. You go look at it for yourself. And it's the same way, it's the same way today. You hear us reading, you know, when we read something out of the Bible, you read about Daniel 9:13. That's why things are the way they are, cause and effect. So folks, look up Daniel 9:13. Read around that and see what the context was there. And it does, it applies today. It's why. You know, Hosea 4:6, I think you read, Josh, you know, and that's another why. Why are we in this mess? Why is it that sin is so rampant in the land, and it just seems like the children, and you know, they just named the generations, the boomers, the millennials, the Generation X, the Generation Y, the Gen Me's, and you know, they our pastor put it out. He saw it in his generation. He saw it in the 60s. Who am I? Is what the people were asking. The next generation up. And you read Hosea 4:6, since you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. And I have a question here. How many generations are we into that? Because that's truth. How many generations are we into that? We may be three or four generations into that. But the good news, that's good news as well, because when we remember the law of your God, then He remembers our children. And so, Josh, because you have heard the law of God, and you've read His Bible, and you've believed, and then you've obeyed, you've turned back to Him, you have remembered the law of your God, and guess what? He remembers your children. And that, you know, you said earlier in the program that, you know, so much of it is really about our children. You know, that's where our example is. That's where our posterity is. That's where our love is. And it is. And so you want God to remember your children? You better remember God. You better turn back to Him. And if you've got the wrong thoughts, will you take those thoughts captive? If you're thinking, men, you want to put a dress on, you take those thoughts captive. And you repent of those. And you resist the devil, and he must flee. so says the word. And you quote Christ to him and you say, Satan, get thee behind me. And you have repentance and you return.
Well, we know that. I mean, he's given us the whole world. He doesn't hold anything that is good for us from us. And we just got to do our part. And being good children and earning our inheritance to a point, you know. And I know there's nothing that you can do with your two hands to... I understand that. Everything we do is through his grace,
yes,
and mercy.
Yes.
But we still got to do our part.
Amen. Amen. To me, it's like the belief in obedience. You know? It's the belief in obedience. Yeah, you have to believe. You know? But so many people, because they don't read their Bible, they don't read the part where it says, well, even the demons believed. When Jesus came up to the demons, they said, what have we to do with you, Son of God? Are you here to torment us before our time? They know. The demons believe that Jesus is the Christ. And you hear it from the Judeo-Christian church world out there. Believe. Believe on the Lord. You used to hear it from Billy Graham. Believe on the Lord and you'll be saved. Now, it says that in the Bible, but that's not all it says. You got to do a little bit more than believe if you want to be a little bit more than the demons. And so, what you do,
Jason,
is you obey.
Jason, before we run out of time, you still have that list of businesses in front of you that have openly taken a stand against us?
Oh, I got a partial list. I don't have a whole list. Starbucks, Hudson Bay Company. That's parents' company to Lord and Taylor and Saks. Fifth Avenue, Barnes and Noble. Those were ones that all came out basically the same thing. They said that employees and customers in their stores are welcome to use the bathroom of the gender that they identify with. And the Starbucks spokeswoman, she came out and she said that they're trying to get it, they're trying to look into changing all the signage on the restrooms to make them more gender neutral. But they said that jurisdictions, dependent on city ordinances and stuff, they have to have marked certain ways, man and woman, basically it's just written in the ordinances for having a public business.
Yeah.
And they're trying to fight that, trying to get it to where they're trying to even change that, where they're trying to get it to where they can put whatever they want on there to make them gender neutral.
Amen. And we'll put this out, folks, if you, like we do for our network website, sfawbn.com. If local news, if you've got local businesses that are, taking a stand either way, let us know. Send us an email. You can email in. Our email here at the office is preacher@sfaw.org. If you have a news article you want on the news wire along these lines, you can send it to jason@sfaw.org. And we'll do our best to get it up on the newswire there at the network website and share that with you. And so as you see lists, either way, standing up for God or standing up for Baal, let us know so we can let the people know.
Jason, do we have a list like that on the website that we can go to and look at?
No, I just got this today, so I'll try to get it up there here.
That would be awesome.
Actually,
because we need to know... We need to know who our enemies are to be able to to war with them.
We do, you know, and now I don't really shop at Saks or Hudson Bay or Fifth Avenue, but you know there is a local Starbucks, and I can sure not buy coffee at the local Starbucks.
I cringe to hear Jason list Barnes and Noble because that's a bookstore that we, you know, get things from.
Sure,
but, hey, it is what it is.
Yeah.
There are other places.
Yeah, there are other... You're right. There are other places.
Lazy of those places that you didn't care to shop at.
Yeah, it's not a sacrifice if it's those places. Fifth Avenue, Saks Fifth Avenue supports them. Well, my family and I, we don't really shop there. But, yeah, the Starbucks smells good when you walk in the grocery store. and it's a cold, snowy day like it is today. Or like you said, Josh, you know, Barnes & Noble, dang, they have some good books. You know, I need to find out about Hastings because they're here in town, and they carry a lot of Bibles and religious paraphernalia, bumper stickers and things like that. So I need to find out about them. So, well, guys, we're about out of time. Sure, thank you for joining us this morning, Remnant, and we hope our conversation maybe will stimulate you to love and good deeds. We hope that it will encourage you to read your Bible, to see the gems in there, to give God an opportunity to speak to you, to tell Him, I'm going to listen to you, Lord. I'm going to listen and see what your Word says. You know, that's what brought me into Christianity. Was we'd had family members telling us about Pastor Peters and this Anglo-Israel truth and this Bible, and we finally, my wife and I, over 20 years ago, finally said, you know, let's just read this Bible and see if what these people are saying is true. See, it was God calling. So do that. Read your Bible. Not only read it, but obey it. Apply it. That's what it's for. Well, we do want to invite you to church tomorrow, and we'll be there if the good Lord willing and the road don't freeze. But we'll have a broadcast there, for a church service, 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, noon on the East Coast. And that'll be at scripturesforamerica.org. And Jason, I think you've got the welcome and communion tomorrow.
Yep, I do.
All right. Well, I'm looking forward to that. And folks, I know you will be as well. Well, thanks for joining us. If you want to write to us, our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Thanks again.
Rolling, stay kind.
Ha! Ha!
Keep rolling, though this country's stolen, keep on rolling over, stay kind. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off. Move them out, head them off, they hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out. Ride them out, ride them more. Stay high.
They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out.